Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/turniton and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/turniton.
This is Turn It On.
This is Dave LeGrand, and you're listening to Turn It On with my pal, Michael J.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 54 of Turn It On. My name is Michael J., and this is my podcast. We are coming to you, as always, from beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, the center of the musical universe. It is a beautiful day here. Summer feels like it's finally creeping in a little, and I am ready for it. We've got some exciting things happening here at Turn It On. We have a newly designed website at tiopod.com with some brand new items in our merch store. You can get t-shirts for men and women in all sizes. There's pull-down menus to mix and match shirt and logo colors, and there's a pretty big selection there as well. We also have two different coffee mug designs as well as hats and hoodies. You can also buy my latest two records and my last EP directly from me in the store as well, so I encourage you to do that. Please do that. Do me a favor and head on over there and check it out when you get a chance. And we're also trying out a company called Dizzy Jam for our merch now to see how they work out. So if you end up ordering stuff and for any reason you're not satisfied, or if you're extra satisfied, if things show up and they look cool and they feel great, please drop me a line either at mj@tiopod.com. That is letter M, letter J at tiopod.com. Or you can also reach me at the contact page at tiopod.com and just let me know how we're doing. Hey, everybody. This show is a labor of love for me, and I've always worked very hard to deliver meaningful content of only the highest quality for you. My advertising budget at the moment is $0.00, and in the current climate of podcasting, it's getting harder and harder for independent shows like mine to get noticed, and even harder to attract sponsors to monetize things so I can start possibly making a living doing this thing, or at the very least, supplementing my income so that my time isn't quite as stretched when I'm trying to put the shows together. This is where I ask you to do me a favor. If you're a listener of the show and you've enjoyed it, please subscribe to the feed on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, and also take a quick minute to leave me a review on iTunes. This not only helps with ratings, but it also helps other people find the show. I'm sure there's an absolutely huge audience for this thing that's just waiting to discover it, but I can't get there without your help. I've also set up a Patreon page at patreon.com/turniton. That is patreon.com/turniton. And I've only set up a single pledge tier, which is just $1. You can definitely give me more, and that would be amazingly awesome. But if a few hundred of you pledge at $1 or even $2 a month, it'll start to lighten the load a little bit. And there will be no rewards for those pledges on Patreon at the moment, but if the response is good enough, I'll be able to start generating bonus content for people who pledge, and we'll kind of see where it goes from there. And the last thing you can do to help out is to tell your friends about the show. Word of mouth is always the best advertisement, so start talking about it, posting about it, sharing it to your social media pages, and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully, with a small amount of effort on your part, we can start growing the audience for this thing, and I can keep doing it. Thank you all so much for sticking with me here. And thank you all in advance.
This is Jim from the Ivans, and now back to Turn It On.
Okay, my buddy Lee Turner, who plays keyboards and guitar with Darius Rucker, is on the program today. I'm thrilled that he made the time to come and hang and chat with me a little. As you will hear in our talk, I met Lee at one of the NAMM shows here in Nashville a few years back. He and I both endorse and work with a company called Valve Train Amps, owned by our pal Rick Gessner. Lee also brought over an amazing acoustic guitar from the fine folks at Lyman Guitars, and you'll hear us talk about that, and you'll hear me play it a little as well, so don't be alarmed. I instantly hit it off with Lee back when I met him a few years ago. He's a really sweet guy, and this is another one of those times where I felt like I was hanging out with an old friend. So I'm going to get right out of the way here and get straight to the talk. So this is me and Lee Turner.
Yeah, I almost quit. Like, I almost
just wasn't going to do it anymore because it was like one of those things where you start it and like, I mean, I've really just been spending money on it. It's not monetized.
For the podcast.
Yeah, for the podcast.
Yeah, like how does it do or how do you...
How does it do?
How does it do its thing? Like when people do these podcasts, like do they... I'll probably sit back a little bit. Yeah, cool. I'm going to get totally comfy.
Get comfortable, man. Yeah.
I'm just chilling.
Yeah, that's perfect, dude. That's perfect.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah, like how does you just try and grow it and get sponsors and have people?
Yeah, I started it back in 2015.
Yeah.
Here, but I had a podcast that I did in 2010 in Florida that like maybe went about 6 or 7 episodes, but it was like I didn't have people to talk to, and like being in Nashville is just...
Yeah, you have a plethora.
There's a wealth of people to talk to. I meet new people every day that I'm like, man, that would be an interesting person to talk to for this, you know? But the Florida thing was like, I've always loved podcasts. I don't know if you're a podcast fan or not, but I'm a huge, like, I almost listen to that more than I listen to music these
days.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I just, you probably know, there's so much music in my brain all the time that I feel like I need to kind of shut it off.
Yeah.
You know? And two people talking is kind of a rare... It's rarefied air these days, you know,
right.
Like you know, people commununicating one-on-one, actually talking to one another.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No phones.
No phones, no
talking.
Texting. Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, this is good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
So I don't really know, man. At this point, I'm like, I stopped it for a year because I got busy. I got this gig with this Canadian artist, Aaron Goodman, and I've been touring in Canada, and I sort of just was kind of like, well... Like, does anybody care? Does anybody really care about this thing? And
that's that little voice in your head,
that's
right?
That stupid little voice that we all have that I think as musicians that we... And I've talked about that a bunch on the show where it's like, you know, the imposter syndrome thing.
Totally, yeah.
Where you feel like, I'm a fraud, no one cares, nobody gives a crap about what I'm doing. But I stopped it for a year. And it's funny, there were a bunch of, like, very well-timed text messages from friends and emails from people going... Hey, like, are you starting the podcast? Like, what happened to the podcast?
Right.
And so around the first of the year, this past year, I kind of decided, okay, I'm going to make a concerted effort to do it, to do one a month, or I'm sorry, one a week rather, and just stick to that. And I'm going to ask everybody shamelessly. I don't care how big of an artist they are, how small of an artist they are. Worst that can happen is they say no.
No.
And it's... Out of the gate, it's really cool. I asked Billy Sheehan to be on the show. Met him, you know, through some friends of mine.
Yeah.
And we have kind of there's a few connections there because he's a Buffalo guy and I'm a Rochester, New York guy. So I asked him to do it and he said yes. And ever since he's arguably the biggest guy that I've talked to yet, the most renowned.
That's awesome.
He said yes, went to his house, did the thing, which was like, I can't believe this. And since getting him... to sit down and talk, it's been really easy to get other people to say yes because they kind of look...
You've got a name.
Yeah, and it's... Nothing's really changed.
No.
You know, like...
That's No, I get
it's the same, and that's the music business in a nutshell.
Totally
where,
the music business.
Where it's
business.
Like, I'm just doing the same thing that I've always done, but people perceive it differently, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah.
This is good stuff. We shouldn't waste all of this.
Oh, it's going.
Oh, it's going
it's
already.
It's going. See? That's how I get you.
This is good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, it's always record.
Okay, great.
Always keep it rolling. In fact, I'm surprised I didn't have my phone going when you walked in the door.
Wow.
Because that's kind of how I do it. But I knew, like, when we met, we should probably talk about how we met. I mean, we met at the NAMM show a couple years back.
Absolutely.
Because we're both Valve Train.
Through Rick Gessner. Through Valve Train Amps.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we hit it off right away. And it was one of those things where I was like, you know, you just kind of, sometimes you have an affinity for people.
Yes.
And you go, okay, this dude's on my wavelength.
This vibes,
I think we were laughing about a bunch of inappropriate stuff. And I think at one point it was like we were both testing the water to see how far we could push it.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, that's okay. All right. So we're people watching and we're okay with comments.
Exactly.
Because people are great.
People are great.
People are just freaking great.
Yeah.
And like, it's amazing to me how it takes all kinds, you know? And so I don't know.
Yeah. So how did you hook
I
up
met
with Rick?
Rick through a mutual friend, or I don't know. Do you know Eric Halbig, guitar player?
I know Eric,
okay, so Eric came over to the studio one time,
This is when I was just first starting to record, and he brought this little 205 amp, which is, yeah. you know, it was, I think, a 110 mm-hmm. in a little, and I was like, yeah. couldn't you bring over a real fucking amp? And I was kind of pissed, and then all of a sudden I heard it, and I was like, what is this? Mm. You know, and we started talking about it, and I'm a keyboard guy.
Right.
Right. So I play piano, keyboards, but I've always had just this affinity for like guitars and drums, because a keyboard is a keyboard is a keyboard. You know, right. the only thing different is like Hammond. Like you have different Hammond B3s all sound different. And I, but you know, you plug in a Nord Stage 2 and it's going to sound like a Nord Stage 2. We can do stuff to it. So anyways, long story short, it was, I was kind of tripped out and I was like, what is this? So I needed, you know, the studio was starting out. My whole goal for the studio was not to have people bring in and out a lot of equipment.
Right.
And it's still my goal. So I really wanted to have amps in the studio, kick-ass amps that people would always be like, oh yeah, Lee's got great stuff. I just want to come over. I'm going to bring a gig bag, pedal board, and boom. And we go. So I ended up talking to Rick on the phone, and yeah. Rick started talking, and he is just a, you know, a wealth of knowledge of stuff. I had no idea about it, and I was just like, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, transistor tube, yes,
yeah, okay,
6L9102s, yeah, totally. You know, and I kind of faked my way through it and learned, and I ended up being a Valve Train rep for him for a while, where he dropped off just a ton of amps. I had him in the studio, and it was kind of the idea of, you know, come to Lee's place, you can check out an amp, and you don't have somebody playing Stairway to Heaven poorly in the background, exactly. you know, at a music store. So that was the vibe, how I met Rick, and, you know, I met a bunch of cool players, and then I got to meet you, and,
yeah.
you know, I still work with Rick. I saw him we both saw him Tuesday,
yeah,
and,
right.
you know, the other night, and, you know, we're working a deal out to get an amp out there, a Valve Train amp out on the Hootie tour. So,
oh, killer. Okay.
You know, it's that's how I know Rick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't meet you sooner, because.
Right.
I forget. Oh, I remember now. There was a friend of mine. I was living in Gainesville, Florida before I moved here for a good amount of time. And there was a friend of mine who I think knew Rick's old business partner or somebody that was involved with the Valve Train stuff, and said, hey, there's a guy in Orlando that has these amps. Would you be interested in checking him out? We know you're moving to Nashville. Right. And so it was kind of that kind of thing. And I went to Orlando for the day and tried the amps and met Rick. And then he was kind of talking to me about having a guy in Nashville.
Right.
And I'm not sure, how many years back do you go with him?
That's 2008, I think.
Okay, so before, yeah, well before that.
Yeah, 2007, 2008.
Okay.
So I've known him a while,
yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Because when I moved here, I had a couple, I had a Bennington Reverb and a Saratoga with me.
Right,
and I did some videos, like some video stuff for him as well. And then I've just been at a bunch of random NAMM shows and stuff like that. And Rick's just such a good guy. And I was laughing because the other night, I'm gonna give this will be like a shameless plug for Valve Train amps.
Yeah, totally.
If you're a guitar player listening,
dude,
Rick is the best. Makes really great hand wired, low wattage, like vintage style Fender, you know, Fender-ish in the Fender family kind of amps. And they also make this new thing that he's rolling out this year called the Power Train.
Right.
That is designed for people who use Kemper amps and the Axe FX stuff. Mm-hmm. It's basically a tube back end for the digital modeling front end exactly. that Kemper provides.
Yeah.
And so he was telling me, I dropped off. I missed you by about, by maybe an hour.
Yeah.
The other night. Right. I was busy with stuff. But I'll try to make this as...
No,
as
this is exciting stuff.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. And this is going to be real gear nerdy, but that's totally. Okay. Because there's an episode I did with Chris Nix where we talked about guitar stuff that I thought I was going to lose everybody.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, that was awesome. So I'm like trying to
do
not
it.
Be as afraid of the
do it.
Gear nerd stuff. But he was telling me that you guys got Michael Britt, and who was the other guy that...
Somebody from the Tone Junkies.
Oh, the Tone Junkies. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what his name is. But it's supposedly it's the two biggest guys in the Kemper world. And again, this is the keyboard player guy talking.
Well,
but,
right.
You know, but he was totally thrilled, and... he said Britt just, you know, looked at it and it, he, you know,
flipped out.
Flipped out and full stamp of approval. So this is, you know, something that's going to really take that whole Kemper thing to the next level.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, that's kind of one of the reasons I didn't dive. I haven't kind of gone that route yet because I'm such a tube amp guy. Like I really, really, you know, old school kind of like I need to feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be screaming loud on stage, but I have to feel it.
You need it to respond.
Yeah. Do you, what kind of stuff do you use when you play with Darius?
With Darius, like, I've got a little, like a Charleston out there.
Okay. Okay.
So I play electric on one song.
Oh, right on.
So,
okay.
Yeah. I'm,
and you do acoustic as well?
Yeah, I do acoustic. So I primarily play B3, Nord Stage 2, and a Wurlitzer. And then when I got this gig, they looked at me and they said, "You play acoustic guitar, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." I played it in college.
Right.
You know, so I literally
around the campfire to get girls.
2 weeks to remember how to play and play convincingly. And of course, they all saw through it, but I already had the gig, so whatever.
Well, that makes you more marketable.
Or more, you know, that was 10 years ago. I've had the Darius gig going on 11 years.
Have you really now?
Which is awesome. And I play acoustic probably on 45% of the show now, you know, and it's, I've really worked on it and it's just become part of what I do. Yeah, so out there, I had one song, you know, as country music is changing also.
Sure.
Some of the extra stuff, if I can, I just did that in air quotes. You know, keyboards are sometimes disappearing, you know, and it's more, and it's just the way that the genre, you know, the songs are sounding. So there's some Darius stuff that doesn't even have keyboards on it, which is cool. I'll play acoustic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice. We've got a bunch of guys in a band that play different instruments. And
you guys have a big band. Is it a big band?
Yeah, we got 6 people and then Darius makes 7.
Okay.
We don't use any tracks.
Cool.
Live. So
that's great.
There's one song called This, where I start out on an acoustic, Sasha, our steel player, starts out on dobro, Gary, our fiddle player, starts out on mando, and by the end of the song, I'm on keyboard, he's on steel, and the other one's on fiddle.
Killer.
So it's like, you know, we cover all the parts and play everything live. So
That's got to be refreshing.
It is, and it's kind of tough sometimes, but you know, if Darius wants to take it a certain way, or somebody in the crowd gets his attention and for some reason he stops, we don't have to worry about the tracks, you know?
Right.
There are no tracks. And, you know, it's really cool. So, yeah, there was a song with 2 big electric parts on it, and I was like, well, let me learn. I'll get an electric, and, you know?
Yeah, right.
So that's how I started doing that. I have Brian Nutter's old fly pedal board from 15 years ago. I bought off of him, you know?
So, yeah.
Anyways, that's my guitar. That's how I'm into that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I've played with people with tons of tracks.
Yeah.
And
me too.
I also, the current situation I'm in, we use just some moderate things just for like, there's no vocals on the tracks, and it's just moderate kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we've had to do gigs where we've killed the tracks for whatever reason, like an intro got botched or whatever, and you don't miss it.
No.
You know what I mean? And in fact, I think sometimes the tracks kind of make things sound smaller. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's, you have to stick to it.
Well, you're married to what's there.
So
yeah.
I don't know. It's the way things are going, and that's cool, and it's economic for a lot of people.
Yeah,
which I get.
Well, to kind of not take as many people with you.
Yeah,
and have a bigger sound. I get it. Yeah.
I
get it. It doesn't mean I like it, but
we're both shaking our heads, and that's okay.
That's okay. Listen, whatever.
So
whatever they pay us to do, that's
man.
Play your stuff and shut the hell up.
I'll derail it and go back to acoustic
guitar. That's totally fine.
So
I,
you know, was searching for an acoustic, and at that time, Herb Schuker was repping a bunch of stuff, and he was repping Alvarez guitars.
Okay.
And I got 2 Alvarez from him, and that's what I started playing on the road, and I've played it now 10 years.
Okay.
You know, it's got the wear marks on it, and it's just like my baby, you know? So they gave me a new guitar last year. Tom from St. Louis Music. Mm-hmm. I met him at the NAMM show. He sought me out, you know, through Facebook, and he was like, dude, I see you posing with this guitar in every picture. You don't even have an endorsement. Thank you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that was like their little gift to me.
Oh, that's killer.
Which was really sweet.
Yeah.
So, I had this other friend of my wife, Tiffany, grew up in South Carolina, and through a friend...
Can I take this out while you talk about it?
Absolutely. I had a friend say, hey, you got to check out this new guitar company that I'm working with, Lyman Guitars from Lyman, South Carolina. And... So I brought one with me because I actually talked to him and I said, you know, I gave him my whole Alvarez spiel. I said, I'm, you know, loyal to him and whatever. And I said, I'm not really the guitar player. I'm like this keyboard player who plays chords on acoustic. And
this is awesome. My God, I can just tell it's very, it has the look of a Martin,
but
a little bit more of a fancy Martin.
Yeah.
I really like the... We're going to do a bunch of... I'm big on doing the visual cues on the audio podcast.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this is great, man. So continue.
It's a beautiful guitar. So I was really honest with them, Sophie and Art, and they were doing a guitar show down in Franklin. And I was getting ready to do a session, and I was like, well, swing by the house. I'll take a look at it, you know. And they were like, well, just check it out. Let a couple of your friends play it, whatever. Just... feedback is all they're looking for. It is a great guitar.
This is a great guitar. You can just, I mean, it's funny because you can just tell.
You can tell
from the first
right
second.
Away.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the neck is, some acoustics can be a little clunky. This is not clunky at all. It's...
Yeah, so the name of the brand on this is, I believe they pronounce it Tyma.
Okay. I'll take a photo of this before I'll post
T-Y-M-A.
It on the...
T-Y-M-A.
T-Y-M-A.
So it's Lyman Guitars, and then this is a Tyma, and they have different kinds, and they're supposed to be making me an electric, which I'm super pumped about.
Oh, nice.
It's, I don't know. It's just, you check out the website. Check them out. They're really good people.
Oh, what's the website?
TYMA.com? So it would be Lyman Guitars.
Oh, Lyman Guitars.
Yeah, okay. Lyman Guitars, I believe it is, .com.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of different stuff, and they're really working on it. So they're handcrafted. I believe they are made in China, but she said that let me check out the back of that sucker.
Yep.
Everything is, the people that are working on them are all artists themselves.
Oh, really?
So it's not just
so they're built by people
out.
Who are actual.
Yeah, who taken pride in what they do. And I mean, you look at this
thing.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Love these inlays. That's
cool.
Yeah,
that's killer.
So something a little different. But anyways, I totally endorse that. And they're just really sweet people. So check them out. Lyman Guitars. And this is a Tyma, T-Y-M-A.
Awesome. I'll snap some photos, and I'll put a link to the website on the show notes for this show. And
awesome.
We'll get some people checking it out. That's
cool.
Gorgeous. I don't even need any, you know, you sold me on it.
Sweet.
So you can just leave that when you leave.
Okay, here you go. Sorry, Sophie.
Thanks.
I need
another
one.
That's Lee Turner to be on the show, and I got a guitar.
Hey, man.
So are you from Nashville originally? Or are you?
No, I grew up in Milwaukee. Well, outside of Milwaukee, a little town called Horicon.
Talk about this?
I don't think we did. 3,000 people. And I was a trumpet player, and I always played keyboards in bars since I was 16.
Okay.
I would take my mom's car, and sometimes she would call the cops on me. And like there was one time it was...
Seriously?
Yeah, there was one time it was snowing, and I said, Ma, I got a gig, you know? And she was like, you're not taking the car. Well, I took the car. About 5 miles out of town, a state trooper pulls me over. And by that time, there was no snow on the roads. And I said, look, I got a job to go to. And already I called it a job. You know, music was always that for me. And it was, so I've always made money playing in bars since I was 16. And I went to college playing trumpet. I was a trumpet performance major, and then I quickly realized that I wasn't the best in that, so I switched to education.
Mm-hmm.
So my weekends, besides school, my weekends looked like Thursday night with a reggae band, Friday night pop band, Saturday night 50s, 60s band, and then Sunday morning playing church, playing trumpet in church.
Oh, wow.
So always making money. So after I taught middle school and high school for a brief period of time, you know, teaching's great, kids are great, but it just wasn't for me. I was like, you
shaping
know,
waking young minds.
I was waking up crying, and the other person was going, "You're the teacher; you have to go to school." And I was like, "Damn it!" So I moved to Nashville.
What year was that?
Boy, that was 95, 96.
Oh, so you've been here a while. Okay,
yeah, 23 years ago, and I said, you know, I want to go play for a country music artist. And everybody thought I was crazy. I knew one guy down here. He let me sleep on his couch. And he happened to work for a magazine. I think it was Music Row magazine or something like that. So we got to go to all the parties. And like, so, you know, I met this this guy who just got a record deal. His name was Kevin Sharp.
Okay.
And I loved how his music sounded. And we went to his record release party. And I said, "Hey, man, you know, I'd love to play in your band." And I didn't know any better. I just approached the artist, you know. And he was like, "Well, talk to my manager. And we're having auditions in, a little bit." Yeah. So I got the audition. Long story short, about 2.5 weeks into moving to town, I had a gig.
Wow.
And I'm rolling down the road on a tour bus with a guy who's on Asylum Records. Like, how freaking cool. So that was 3.5 years with Kevin. He was great. But you know the waves of artists and their rise and they fall.
Sure.
And so I started looking, and I got a phone call to play with the Kinleys.
Oh, okay.
Which back in the day, the Kinleys always had just a killer band, and I felt like really honored to be part of this.
Yeah.
So I jumped ship, went over there, played a little with Wade Hayes, and then it just started being this barrage of, you know, I was on a lot of acts with that were on Sony Records. Seemed to catch them right as they were going down.
that's
you know, Tammy Cochran. We did the we did the George Strait tour, and you know, it just fell into other stuff. And then I got a great gig with Jennifer Hansen. That was a killer band. I got to play with Oddly Freed.
Oh, wow.
Jerry Flowers, Larry Babb on drums.
Yeah.
And that was just fun. Ty Herndon. And then I got this gig called the Nashville Star. It was a TV show on Network, and I was in a house band for 5 years on that.
Wow.
And that just opened the doors to several different artists. And at one point, I was being accused of being a musical whore, which I was like, and your point is.
Are we all, though, really?
I mean, well, you're making a living, trying to make a living playing music.
Yeah.
And when you're getting paid by the show, you go where the shows are.
That's true.
So at one point, I actually had two keyboard rigs out. One was with Blake Shelton. One was with Randy Owen. And like we actually, there was one night in Phoenix Country Music Festival where they were both on the bill. And I had, I got done with one show, went over to the other keyboard rig and played that. Like, it was stupid.
That's great.
At one point, I was playing a little bit with Hank Williams Jr. and a little bit with Wynonna. And it was like total yin and yang there. Like,
yeah.
So all that. And then I got the call for the Darius gig, and I just started recording, which I'm so passionate about and love. And I was, that was picking up, and I almost didn't go to the audition. And I was like, ugh, another pop guy going over to country. This is going to suck. That's what my thought was. I had a 10 a.m. session that day. My audition was at 2:45 over at Soundcheck. And we wrapped up at 1 o'clock, and I was like, let me listen to this. And I was like, oh, crap, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a Hootie fan. We played this stuff in college. And so I quickly scribbled out three songs, charted, went in t-shirt, shorts, and a ball cap, took one keyboard.
Yeah.
Like so many things that I normally wouldn't do for an audition. You know, I wasn't wearing quote unquote stage clothes.
Sure.
And I just played, and I got the gig.
Darius, I don't know him. I've never met him. We have some mutual friends in the Sister Hazel guys.
Right.
But he seems like a super laid-back kind of guy. He probably loved that. He probably was like, okay, this guy's,
well,
you know.
Full transparency, he wasn't even there.
Oh, he wasn't even there. Okay.
Nope. So I played with tracks, you know, minus keyboards, and I was on a I was on the big stage, me and my keyboard and a monitor, and management was like 50 feet away.
Oh,
it was
God.
The big room there.
So
it was
so you for
awkward.
All intents and purposes, you probably shouldn't have gotten the gig.
No, I mean, I just threw it together. Yeah, you're right. I didn't prepare.
Yeah.
But you know what's really cool is the music. There's times when you play as a musician, and I always say this, like, there's nights where I feel like I can just throw down my hands on my keyboard and it works.
Right.
And there's nights where it's a struggle, you know?
Yeah.
This is one of those times where it just, it fit me.
Mm-hmm.
And his music fit me, and it fit in my hands really well. So I nailed the keyboard stuff, but yeah, my image was whatever. And yeah, of course they kind of knew who I was, and not bragging or anything, but my buddy Jeff Marino really went to bat for me. So, but yeah, it was on a video camera, and they picked me. We all got together. I think we rehearsed for maybe 2 days, and then we all flew to LA and we met Darius at the Bonnie Hunt show.
Okay.
And he walked into the dressing room, and it was just hilarious. His first comment was just hilarious, and I knew I would love the guy. And he is loyal, down to earth. He's also one of those guys, and I quickly learned this, that if it looks like he's not paying attention, he is.
Uh-huh.
He hears everything.
Sure.
He notices everything, and he will acknowledge it if it needs to be, but otherwise he's just there to really have a great time on stage, make good music, and have fun.
Right.
You know? He's a smart guy. He's been doing this stuff on the road
for a long time. Yeah, for a long time.
He also, like, one of the things I thought was odd when I got, is that I'm just going to dive right into this.
Yeah,
I think this is pretty cool. We all started out on one bus. It quickly went to two, and then quickly went to three, thank God, you know, as the career just took off, because we didn't know if we were going to do 80 dates or 40.
So you were with him, like, kind of right at the
single
get-go.
Just dropped. Yep. We didn't even know if this thing would tank but it just shot like a cannon. But one of his things was, you know, when we... when we were asked to do this, he says, they asked us two questions. You know, do you play Madden? Of course. So I lied. And then they said, do you drink? And I lied, you know, and I was, you know, and it, they really just wanted a certain thing out on the road. And we can talk about that later. And I'm totally open to that too.
Okay, sure.
But anyways, video games are really important. And like, and here's the thing. I thought this was the stupidest
That's amazing.
Thing. And that was the Madden question. So we get, we started playing NBA 2K, which is a video game, a basketball video game. I had never played. I was not a gamer. I'm a music nerd, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So he actually, we had to pick teams. He made a tournament. And I was like, oh my God, like, what the hell have I signed up for? And all of a sudden we had all three buses. Everybody's playing each other. Crew is coming on the band bus. Crew is going on the artist bus. Artist is going, you know. And what it did is it kept everybody together.
Yeah, it's great.
And it gets your ass off your bus and mingles with the crew.
Right.
And it's just brilliant. We have so much fun, and we still do it.
That's amazing.
Each year we have our tournament, and fantasy football's huge.
Yeah.
And just fun.
Have you guys had the same crew for that many years,
yes,
too, pretty much?
Absolutely. We've only added people to this camp.
It's not only one of the more coveted gigs out there now, but that's great to see that it's, you know.
I think we changed guitar players a year into it, and then we added steel, and then we added an auxiliary guy, which is our fiddle, mando, banjo, and acoustic guitar player. And the crew all came over from Hootie, road manager, production manager, front of house. And then we added a guy on monitors. You know, we finally got a monitor guy. It was, you know, we had one, but he went to the rock world. And anyway, so yeah, guitar tech and then another guitar tech. And so it's only been adding. And we've known each other like we're brothers.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We've seen most of the band. Yeah, we're all divorced. We've all had divorces, so it's Darius Rucker and the divorcees there. Yeah. But we've all seen us go through shit, you know, mm-hmm. and that's cool.
That's great, though. That's rare these days, man. It's so rare. It's like I've seen more and more. And I, you know, nothing against Eric Church, but I saw this big billboard on, you know, downtown that uh-huh. he's going on this like solo acoustic tour in stadiums, which cool. I mean, you know, Ed Sheeran does it and whatever. But I'm like, man, are we really like getting rid of the bands? Are we really like? I mean, I'm sure he hasn't fired his band, but
hopefully not. Hopefully he's taken care of.
But it is one of those things where you go. I mean, like my immediate thought as a sideman was, what about the band?
Right.
Like what are those guys doing this year?
Well, let's talk about the summer. So Hootie and the Blowfish going on tour. Yeah. And that was always a concern. Again, just being real transparent. Mm-hmm. You know, you get hired to play with Darius, and Hootie's what made him a thing,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
So we've always heard about the reunion tour, and we're like, oh, crap. As the band, what are we going to do for that year?
Yeah.
Is he going to let us go? Is he going to take care of us? Is mm-hmm. he... Well, so this year is that year. And it is... really cool because Hootie's going on tour for the summer, and they've just added a small European tour, but he is taking care of us as the band.
That's great.
And it's totally killer. And we just did, for his birthday party, we learned the James Taylor record from top to bottom.
James Taylor
greatest hits, top to bottom. Kind of like a long players thing. That's sure, where yeah. You know, the long players are in Nashville here, and they always pick a record and they play it from top to bottom. So he did that, and we did it at the Windjammer, which is their old Hootie.
It was
300 people, and it was just awesome.
That's where Hazel does their hazelnut hang in the summertime. Yeah. I think that's a club that was, I think I've played there a long time ago too. So yeah.
So it's like, you know, anything, we would do anything for him because he takes care of us, and it's kind of cool. So the Hootie's going to go out and do their thing, and then summer will be over real quick, and then we'll be back at it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. It's great to hear again because this podcast was started. I've told this story, but a long time ago, I was in a bar with a buddy of mine back when I drank. I don't drink anymore. I don't think you're a sober
guy
too,
right?
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second.
Right,
but, there was one of the CMA awards shows, and, I know a couple of the guys in Aldine's band pretty well, Jack Sizemore and Rich Redmond.
Sure.
And I've known Jack for longer than Rich, but I was sitting at a bar and the CMAs were on, and I was like, oh, cool. I get to see, like, you know, this is one of my first Nashville experiences. I get to see some of my friends play on the award show.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, I know those guys. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And they had chosen that particular year to, like, silhouette all the band members.
Right.
So it was like Jason Aldean front and center, and then all these guys that I could see their heads.
Sure.
But they were all in shadow, and I was kind of like, man, like, I might have been a little drunk, and I might have been a little, you know, despondent at the time, but I was like, that sucks. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not going to confuse anybody. You know, no one's gonna be like, oh, who are all these people? That's the band. That's the people that were, you know, those are the guys that and gals that, you know, that support who these people are that you love. And so the podcast was literally like a light bulb went off.
Wow.
And I went, I'm going to start talking to people who do what I do, who are like the side men, the side women.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, you know, obviously not going to, if somebody, you know, like an artist wants to be on the show, I'm not going to say no to that. But I want to give a little bit of a spotlight to the people that do what we do. And that's sort of where this whole crazy thing started. And it's, you know, it's branched off from there. But that's
kind of, that's cool
that was born out of.
Right.
So anyway, that, you know, it's nice to hear when people, the artists, take care of the people that they, you know, that have kind of helped them.
Absolutely. You know. And I think it's really cool. Like I said, Darius is really loyal, and he works really hard maintaining that status so he can provide, I guess you would say. So yeah, that's, it's pretty outstanding, and I'm very fortunate, and I don't take any day for granted,
yeah.
You know, because we all know this, an artist gig, it could end tomorrow, sure, with a phone call from management, and that's just how it goes.
That's just how it is, yeah. And, isn't it nice, though, that when you like the people that you work with?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's a huge difference.
It's just so much better that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, if you're going to be gone for days and weeks at a time, you know, mm-hmm, you better be spending time with people that you like.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, why are you doing it in the first place?
Why are you doing it? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so the sober thing, like, I mean, I don't want to, I try not to talk about it too much because it's one of those things that can come across as a little preachy to people who do drink and whatnot. But how long have you been sober for? Has it been a bit?
I've been sober 6 months. 6 months.
6 months? Wow.
6 years, 6 months.
Oh, 6 years, six months. Okay. I'm coming up on almost 3 years now.
Oh, right on.
Which will be July. That's huge. 3 year thing. Yeah. What was it for you? Was it like, are you an alcoholic or was it?
Yeah, I'm an alcoholic.
Are you? Okay.
Full blown. I did good. I would say
full on. I was really good at it.
I was outstanding. I always say God gives us all like drink coupons. I used up every damn one, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So it was, I grew up in Wisconsin and I think it was a thing. I'm not going to blame it on Wisconsin. Wow, I just did that. I love Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin's fault. Fuck those people.
We used to play like in beer tents, you know, for churches, and we'd call it drinking for Jesus. I mean, it was just a social.
Really?
Oh God, yeah. That was their annual fundraiser. They would rent these huge tents.
Drinking for Jesus.
And it was like on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was a festival, and they would hire a band. And honestly, it was, you know, 5,000 people smashed, you know, mm-hmm, but that was just like how my rock band was so fun. And we didn't play any slow songs. We didn't play any weddings, you know, it's just that band.
Yeah.
And it was five guys that just drank and had fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and if you don't have a problem, how it goes is like you can drink normally and it's fun, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was fun. And then I moved to Nashville and it was still fun. And except, you know, I ended up getting married and, you know, had responsibilities. And then
Do you have kids?
I don't.
You don't?
Okay. I don't. Yeah. I never had. You know, and I just got into this thing where all of a sudden it took over my life, and mm-hmm, it's just how it happens. And I started drinking at home and drinking alone, and I was the closet drinker. God, I was so good at that. I was a closet smoker. I was a closet drinker. I only drank and smoked on the road.
I'm realizing now that I'm glad we're friends. Yeah. I think we would have been really bad for each other. Like,
oh,
bad
yeah.
We met before we were drinking. It would have been like, hey, man.
Yeah.
I got a bottle of Kraken.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'll be right over.
Okay, right.
And then I'll drive home.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, man.
So, like, you know, I went through my stuff and it just got really awful.
Was there a rock bottom moment for you?
Yeah,
you
there kinda absolutely was. You know, unfortunately, I had a path of destruction, and mm-hmm, you know, I was married for 14 years, and you know, I'd started my studio. I'd never lost a job. I never lost a gig because of drinking.
Right.
I always managed to keep the studio open. I was pretty functioning that way.
Yeah.
And then I went through that divorce and quickly got married. Didn't take any time for myself or learn what my problem was, and figured that the new situation would fix it. Well, I failed miserably at that. Year and a half later, I'm drinking at home again, and hiding it, you know. What I thought was, and the person was in denial that I was drinking. I was in denial of how bad it was. The boys on the road could see it.
Uh-huh.
And God bless them for putting up with me. And so I was with Darius at this point, and you know, I was making it through shows.
Right.
You know, but it was just ugly, and like the amount that I was drinking was scary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, my rock bottom was this person that I was with. We had an agreement, and it was this simple. When I got together with her, she was like, you fuck up again, I'm sending you to Betty Ford. And I was like, okay, sure. What an agreement. You know, I got this.
Yeah.
And in the sober world, the whole, you know, alcoholics try and say, I got this. We try and do it ourselves and we can't. So, anyways, long story longer, I got to a point where I couldn't even talk. Like my motor functions, my muscles, I was shaking so bad. I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning, pulling off a vodka bottle just to be normal.
Oof, God.
Yeah. Because so that'll just bad, huh? Set your bad day off to be bad. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
So and I finally said, she looked at me and she says, what's wrong? And I finally muttered the words, I've been drinking. She picked up the phone, dialed the number to Betty Ford. She knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days later, I'm on an airplane heading to Betty Ford. And
wow.
Okay. Honestly, Michael, I thought to that moment, thank God it's over, which is step one, you know, just like turning it over, you know, like being, I need help. So anyways, that's not to be dramatic about it, but that is freaking life changing for me.
That's it, man.
And, I went and I had 30 days to just work on myself. Here's another Darius thing. I got an email from him that says, bro, take as much time as you need. You'll have a job when you get back.
That's awesome.
Like, where does that come from?
That's great. That's great.
I went and I just worked on myself. And I think, honestly, sober or not, or alcoholic or not, I wish everybody could take 30 days, get rid of their phones, get rid of their internet, get away from everybody and work on themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow. Just no matter, because we all got problems.
Everybody's
got problems. Nobody's immune to it. Yeah. You know? And so that was a huge turning point. And, you know, that marriage number two, didn't work out. I thought I could save it, you know, but it didn't work out. So there I was, no family. You know, the boys in the band, they like me. I don't know if they trusted me yet, a year and a half later, to be quite honest.
Sure. Well, they were used to seeing one version of you.
They were ready for me to fall, and, you know, they're very weary, you know, and I don't blame them. So I'm in an apartment all by myself, and I started getting even more help at that point. I found a counselor, and I was like, how many times a week can I see you? And he's like, only two, you know, and insurance paid for the whole thing. So I was like, you know, really jazzed about that. And it my whole thing came to be about total honesty. And I don't care, you know, AA is Alcoholics Anonymous, which I think is great and works for some people. I'm in AA, but I'm also in recovery. And if anybody wants to talk to me about it, this is awesome. So I'm going to throw it out there. Yeah. If you're listening on this podcast and you need help, I'm sure you can reach out to Michael or myself.
Absolutely.
You know, find me on social media, Lee Turner on Instagram or Facebook, and instant message me. And nobody needs to know.
Right.
I just recently posted my 6 year on social media. I think you might have also.
I posted like I think my I try to do my anniversaries now and just go cool.
Well, I put a picture of before and after, and
I've done that too.
Resonated with people because there's such physical change that happens. And I had a lot of people reach out to me who I didn't know were in the program, who just wanted to say, hey, either words of encouragement or hey, I'm struggling, you know, and we talk, and that's so cool. So I'm going to flip this really positive now, you know.
Great. No, that's great.
And so with this whole new honesty thing and just being okay with myself and working with myself for the first time and not worrying about what anybody thinks.
Sure.
Which is really hard in the music industry.
It's hard. Yeah.
You know, you even said it, the imposter syndrome and how we have this little voice in our head that tells us we're not good enough and all that. So I'm at the airport and I literally think it was a gift from God. I look over and there's this girl kind of checking me out, and I look behind me and I was like, who is she looking at? You know? And she was not on my flight. And we both hubbed through Houston. Her bag got put on my plane. Okay.
Wow.
So she's talking to a friend. I quickly run to the bathroom, do a booger check, hair check, you know, teeth check, just in case.
Booger check.
Total booger.
Hashtag booger check.
That is so important. You don't want bats in a cave, you know? Anyways. So I'm like, forget it. I'm not going to talk to her. She's way too pretty. And our bags came out on the carousel at the same time, right next to each other. So of course I reach down and I help her with her bag. And she says, do I know you? And I wasn't going to blurt out, oh, I'm Leah, I play with Darius Rucker. Right. You know, because that didn't work out so well the last time.
Sure.
And I just said, you know, I'm Lee. And she says, well, what church do you go to? And I was like, oh, who's this? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I told her, you know, I went to Woodmont Christian. And we, no, that's not where I know you and blah, blah, blah. So long story short, walking downstairs and we agreed to go have coffee. And I finally tell her I'm a musician and she goes, oh, I don't date musicians. And I was like, okay.
That's when you should have said, you do now.
You do now. That's great. Well, we ended up. Yeah, that's totally creepy.
You're about to.
And we agreed to go have coffee. And she sits down and she goes, well, tell me about yourself. And I was like, oh, fuck. Here it comes.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, you know, and I'm thinking in my head, well, I look like shit on paper, but I'm a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I just told her everything. We talked about it. And she had this look on her face. And, you know, and she'd been married before. And so anyway, so it was going really well, right? Mm-hmm. So we walked down and we have Mexican food. Of course, the waitress comes up. Hey, guys, can I get you anything? You know, margaritas, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
no.
She goes, do you drink? And I said, no. She goes, I'll have a Diet Coke. And I was like, well, you want to talk about it? So here I spill my guts about, you know, everything I've been through, which is maybe not the greatest idea on the first date, but it really was. And we kind of half hugged after I saw her and, you know, walked her to her car. And I was like, I'm never going to see
this.
I'm never going to see this person again.
Blew that one.
So all of a sudden she calls me. She goes, hey, and come to find out she's a singer also.
Oh, okay.
And a very talented singer. She blows my mind. And just like, so she turned around and she says, I want you to have my CD. But actually it was just to tell me. She goes, hey, we all have our past. I'm not going to judge you for that, you know, and I just wanted you to know that. It was a little bit more to it, but, and I said, hey, the musician thing, let me prove you wrong. And that's how we started.
That's
so
great.
It was awesome to start a relationship, complete open honesty.
Sure.
And it works.
That's great.
So we got married. We're going on 2 years. We're in our second year.
That's great.
And it's just such a wonderful relationship. So I play in her band when I'm home. She's got an awesome R&B band, Tiffany Turner and Company. And we play a lot at Sambuca and do private things.
Awesome. There's going to be more links in these show notes to things. So get ready, folks. You're gonna be clicking away. And,
so all that to say, I know we dove pretty hard into the whole sobriety
thing.
That's
fine. That's fine.
What a difference in my
life. No, it's good. It's a great story, and I think even people who may be on the fence about it or might be thinking about it, because man, honestly, for me personally, I don't feel comfortable telling an alcoholic that I was an alcoholic because it was nowhere near that. But I just noticed that things were going in a darker direction. I was really trying to tamp some stuff down in my own life. And I've done everything I've done without any programs or without anything.
Oh, that's
awesome. I've kind of just been on my own, and I don't miss it. It's just one of those things where I'm much better without it.
Sure.
My life has gotten exponentially better without it. And I think it's something that anybody, it's inspirational. Whether you want to change even little things in your life, there's something little you want to change. It's kind of, you can look at that and go, wow, okay, that's possible. And it's something I thought about and chickened out of a lot of years before I did it. Like
Program or no program, I think you can agree that life isn't as hard.
Mm-mm.
No. Life isn't as depressing.
No, and I don't get hungover ever.
No, I know, right?
Which is the best part about it. Because, man, I would get, I don't know about you, but I would get hangovers that would last like a day and a half. And I think that's one of those things leading up to my moment of, I'm not going to do this anymore, was in a fetal position.
I couldn't handle it. That's why I started drinking again, to feel better, you know?
Yeah. Like when you're a grown man and you're in a fetal position in your bed sweating out alcohol for like 12 to 15 hours, that's a problem.
It's
that's
a problem.
Like, you know, I can't function. This is bad. Like,
this is really bad.
Like, I just don't want to be making bargains with, you know, whatever power you believe in.
Right.
I'll do whatever you want.
I'll do whatever. And then we do it again.
Not good. Idiot. So, what are you doing to keep yourself busy for the, you know, obviously you got your stuff with your wife, but you're doing some recording and some
producing.
Yeah,
doing recording. So I've got a studio. Mm-hmm. I run it out of my home. It's called 222 Studio. So it's the number 2, spell it out 20, and then the number 2.studio. So that's how you can find me on the net.
Another link to give.
On the interwebs. Yes, another link. I'm
that's
sorry,
gonna be awesome.
Dude.
Oh, well, you just wait. I'm gonna,
God. Oh, nobody's going to reach out to me at all.
No, they
They're
going
to be like, no, forget it.
Listen, if you want to record with Darius Rucker's, you know, one of Darius Rucker's bandmates,
come
call
on.
Me.
So I don't normally advertise. Like, this is probably the most advertised. It's all word of mouth. And my whole thing is music recorded with a purpose. Like, you know, come over, let's have a thought in mind. And what I like to do is a lot of people are artists in the right that they can come up with a song, they can write it, or maybe they don't even know how to finish it. I give them the tools on how to get it done. I can create a budget for you, I can get players for you, and then I can record it, mix it, get it to a mastering person, whatever you need, let's do it.
Yeah.
And the whole premise of my studio is I've got everything set up. So I've got a Yamaha piano that's awesome, a Hammond B3. I've got the keyboards. Of course, I'm a keyboard player.
Sure.
But I've also got the guitar amps mic'd up, ready to go. I've got a full Gretsch USA kit, Craviato snare, Black Beauty snare, like stuff that guys want to play. So Monday, we're doing a session. I'm asking players to come over at 9:30, and we're going to make music starting at 10 o'clock.
Great.
And it's just, it's kind of a plug-and-play situation. So what that does is it saves costs, hopefully, for the artist who's probably paying for it out of their pocket. You know, I do a lot of singer-songwriter, independent artist work. I just did a project on these girls who go to Belmont. They're called Halish.
Okay.
Links will be in the show notes.
let's just keep doing links. It's gonna be like 40.
These girls are freaking incredible, and they met as roommates there at Belmont, and they're just great. It's their names.
What
are,
kind of stuff is it?
Man, I would call it independent pop singer songwriter. It's nothing like what I've heard. Cool thing is they just went, let's make this music and see how it sounds. I kind of have this influence, but we weren't married to let's make a country record because they're not country.
Right.
It's not really pop, but it's a little bit of John Mayer. It's a little bit of just funk. It's like, I don't know if even that, but it just sounds amazing. So their stuff just got released last Friday. And they're taking their time with, they're just doing the social media thing right now and letting it grow organically and letting the music speak for themselves. I've got another girl coming in from Holland on Monday.
Oh, really?
Like, I have a lot of international stuff. Somebody from Australia and a lady from Germany that it comes and pops in every once in a while.
How does that happen? Just
word of mouth.
Just word of mouth and somebody.
Yeah. Wow. And like this, Darius set me up with the people from Australia, and this girl from Holland, she's seen two of our shows, and while we were in Amsterdam, she said, me and my husband are coming to Nashville, and through social media, I know she's a singer.
Sure.
And I said, hey, I have a studio, you should come record something. So, boom.
Okay.
We're doing it.
That's
so
great.
We're going to cut
fantastic.
A song on her. We're going to do the track starting at 10, hopefully have her vocal finish up by 4. The next day, I'm going to mix it, and she's on the road.
Awesome.
So, back to wherever she came from.
That's great. So, when does the whole Hootie tour wrap up? When do you guys have any idea when you'll be back on the road with Darius?
It wraps up in September, and then they're doing a quick thing in October. So probably November, I'll start back up.
You guys will be back.
So I've got plenty of time to record.
It must be nice. You'll be home more, kind of?
I'll be home more. I did pick up another job because I can't sit around.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm going to be doing VIP for Brad Paisley. So
oh, right,
out
right.
On
we
the
talked
road.
About this. Yeah.
Just doing his VIP program, you know, a little bit more money to pay the bills. So, you know, that's cool. And I really want to record, Tiff and I did a Christmas record coming up on 2 years
ago. I saw that.
Yeah. And it's just so magical doing that. So that's I really want to do another Christmas record, and I'd like to cut some more stuff on her. So there's always projects and stuff to do.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to need you to text me all the things we've done. All the show notes, all the links for the show
Absolutely.
Notes.
Absolutely, and I appreciate it. And it's fun to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for taking time to do it. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming to my place today. Usually I go to people. It's kind of nice to, be like, oh, cool, I can just stay at home and someone can come over.
Yeah. Well, I dug this. Yeah. So yeah. The time really flew.
And great, yeah, yeah.
Hope you all enjoyed it, listening to us babble.
Yeah, I hope so. Either that or they switched it off like 40 minutes ago.
Nah.
Because of me, not because of you. Thanks, man.
Whatever.
Thanks, man. I really hope you enjoyed my talk with Lee Turner. I had a really great time with him the other day. I'm going to put links to all the different things Lee and I mentioned under the show notes for this episode on TIOpod.com. There are way too many to mention here. Most importantly, you can find Lee on Instagram at lee.j.turner, T-U-R-N-E-R. His studio website is 222.studio. That is number 2. T-W-E-N-T-Y, number 2.studio. If you're a guitarist and want to ogle some really cool gear, please take some time to check out our friends at Valve Train Amps and also the really fine people at LymanGuitar.com. That's LymanGuitar.com. I'm going to post photos of the really awesome Taima acoustic guitar that Lee brought with him under the show notes for this episode also. I will also post it on my Instagram page, which is at Michael J. Official. And you can also find me on Facebook and Twitter under at Michael J. Music. Please look me up and follow me everywhere. I will also mention our Patreon page once again because it's very important. Patreon.com/turnitOn. That is patreon.com/turnitOn. Please consider becoming a patron of this show to help me keep the lights on over here and to keep the content coming your way for free. And that's it. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Another show is coming your way next week, and I will catch you all here next time on Turn It On.